Were there specific incidences that you can recall that you might want to talk about on tape?
Regarding what?
Regarding the racial conflicts.
I just remembered one. I was in the 11th grade at Garfield, and they were putting together a program for the school again, and I was not involved in it at all. I didn't want to be involved. I had already told them, leave me alone, I don't want any part of that. But there was a big gang fight, and darn if it didn't turn out to be a fight between, they used to call them, they were the bad girls, the tough girls, but they were the I don't know what they were. There were as many tough, how can I describe it to you, non-Mexican and Mexican. They were tough. They tried to act tough. And mind you, those were the days when there were no drugs. They were not on anything, no liquor. You know, there was really no reason for them, no excuse outside of hate. There was a certain hatred that had cropped up, and I was really noticing, like in gym, for instance, when they could get to you, you know. It happened. And, I was accused maybe of fouling somebody in basketball when I hadn't. And of course, what could you say? Well, no, I didn't, you know. Take my word for it. So nothing was ever done, but still I was hurt that I was accused of doing something like that when I hadn't done it. Well, that's like, just me.
Like a tough white girl would.
Yeah, well, she scratched me, you know, or she did this to me. She hit me in the back. Well, I hadn't. That only happened to me once, and I hadn't done anything. And you see, there was already tension in the school. But anyway, there was a fight after school, and I guess it must have been a very bad one. They had decided to meet somewhere at a lot, you know, and they pulled hair, and they just, well, I don't know how they ever did it, but they got names. And those girls were expelled. And it just so happened that one of the girls, who was an Anglo girl, was doing a Spanish dance. And she already had her dress, a red dress, I'll never forget. And the gym teacher came up to me and said, this girl was expelled because she was in that fight. So you're going to do her dance. You've got a week or two, maybe 2 weeks, to learn it and to alter the dress. And I didn't want to do it. And when you don't want to do something, you're not going to do a very good job of it. And I knew that I was going to get killed by the girls. But I'm stupid enough to, you know, again, I didn't stick to my guns. You asked me if there were any problems. So I took the dress home and lowered the hem, or did something to the hem, I forget which, either up or down. It fit otherwise. It was a real pretty dress, and the girl loved the dress. I think that's what made her mad. And I had to learn her dance fast. Well, you don't learn anything that fast. And so I was the one that had to do the dance. But everybody already knew what had happened. And this was her dress, and this was her dance. And I went through it, you know. And I was probably horrible because I was so scared. I forgot half of it, and he had to just throw me around, you know. It was a tango. And I was thoroughly embarrassed. And nobody spoke to me after that for, oh, I don't know how long. You see, they had these little gangs. And I was in trouble. Because her friends then, I knew. She eventually came back to school. Boy, and as soon as I saw her, I ran over to her and I told her, you know, I didn't want to do it. But Miss Jacobs forced me into it. I said, I'm sorry. And I said, I was horrible. You should have done it. And she says, well, you shouldn't have done it. You know, she just could not forgive me.
So there were
problems, yes.
A lot of gang activity around that time?
Well, these were girls! I would call that a gang activity. And the tone of the school had changed. There was bitterness and then there was sadness, and so I guess Avion was an escape. It wasn't just the money. It was an escape to get away from the little gangs and the little what do you call people who are, to me it was pettiness. And I didn't want to have any more to do with them. I wanted to get away from them and be busy. Mm-hmm. And so that was an escape for me. I just threw myself into Avion and got so busy working that I forgot everything else. And I lost track of a lot of those people. I never wanted to go back again, ever. Ever again. But you forget. You know, you forgive and forget. All of that is forgotten. In fact, the ones that I do, the girls that I saw at the reunion, were just as nice as they could be. We love each other. So, you know, the ones who were troublemakers probably had problems that they couldn't cope with. And probably just, I don't think they ever went back out of state or what have you. But I made it a point to go back because by then I thought I had solved a lot of my problems. I had a lot of questions in my head. Why does this happen? And why do people change? And what makes us act the way we do? And see, I had all of that to contend with.
Were you aware or had much contact with the Pachucos? The Zoot Suit?
Yeah, no. I was certainly not a part of it. But when I was working in a department store, that was, I'll say, 42, there were the Zoot Suiters, and they were pathetic in their clown suits. We used to call them their clown suits, you know. They were tailor-made, and the material in them was, you know, great big baggy suits, little tiny cuffs, you know, long jackets. And they were conned into those suits by the tailors, I always thought. So they could charge them all this money for a tailor-made suit. They were so dumb, and they fell for it. And then, of course, it became a sort of a trademark. It was the ones who were in gangs. Really, I didn't know any gang members, you know. And I never ever wanted to believe that they were there. You know, it's taken me a lifetime to realize that there are people who can be very bad. But I have always fought that idea of that they're there. I know they're there now, aren't they?
Yes.
So it must be inbred. They go from family, they pass it on, generation after generation. But I think it started, right? Don't you think the movement, their Zoot Suits and all, started right about that time? And I guess I do remember the beginnings of it, because I do remember that but you see, the boys were vain enough to want to look good on Sunday. Now, my husband wore those clothes. They were a little bit higher. You know, they were just, this is all you could buy at the stores. It was just like when the girls were wearing those mini skirts. They couldn't find anything else. I know, because I raised two daughters. And I fought the mini skirt because where was modesty? But we couldn't find anything at the department stores, and eventually they got conned into wearing them, whether they looked good in them or not. You know what I mean. But yet, the zoot suits were made by tailors. The real zoot suits, you know, those real fancy, big-legged things. And I do believe that some of them were very bad men, you know, and then the girls, too, that went that route. They had their models, I guess you'd call them, wouldn't you? You know, and they had a funny way of dressing, too. They,
how did they dress?
They always wore black skirts. I'll never forget that. And, very high pompadours. That was one of their trademarks. And then they used to say that they used to hide knives in there, that they used to have to wear rats, you know, and then hide a knife in there. And that's why they had the high pompadour. Who knows? And they say that at that gang fight, there were the bad girls. They weren't called zoot suit girls. They were just called bad girls. But I don't know why they confronted one another, where it all came about. But I guess it was pretty bad.
Were the girls that were involved with the zoot suit men thought to have like looser morals, or you calling them bad girls? They were just tough.
I don't know if they were really bad. Who's to know? I didn't talk to them. We assumed that they were terrible, that they would do anything that the zoot suiters would ask them to do. And I used to wonder, why? Why do they do it? I mean, why even be seen with them? But I mean, when I mean zoot suit, I mean really the zoot suits. There were a lot of young men who couldn't buy any other types of clothing in the stores, and their pants were all tapered and a little bit, you know, a little bit on the zoot suit side. They were not the zoot suits, though. And they were, identified along with the real bad zoot suiters. I still don't know what in the world the zoot suiters did exactly, except dress in a grotesque way, and so did the girls. They overdid everything. Noise-wise, they were too noisy. I didn't like that. Their speech was awful. Their slang was terrible. They certainly didn't respect the girls that they were with. And that's why I always wondered why would any girl dress like that or even want to be associated with anybody who doesn't respect them. And so, but as far as what crime they did, I was never aware of that. I did see them dancing, you know, with their zoot suit girls, and they did overdo whatever, like the swing, they would overdo that. You know, it was ugly. They slung it around. They slung themselves around in a strange way. Did you see the play Zoot Suit by any chance? I didn't. Did you? Did they dance funny?
They danced in it.
Did they dance in an exaggerated way?
Yes.
Well, then that was true. However, on the plus side, maybe I am a little bit forgiving or whatever. Or defensive, I think is the word. I heard those were the fellas that when they went in the army and got their hair shaved and they were cleaned up and put in uniforms and went through basic training, they were the heroes, I heard, because they were tough. And many of them came out with medals and reformed and went on to become good fathers. And even started clubs to keep the kids from going a little bit sour, or keep them out of jail, and became social workers if they went on to college. The very few. I don't know any personally, but I'd like to think that that's what happened. But I believe that this. And I hate to get into juvenile delinquency, but poverty has something to do with it, I suppose, and boredom, and it has to come from the family. I really didn't know the families. There was one fellow I knew whose brother was said to be a part of a gang. I forget what it was, and I was a little bit afraid of him. He was very nice, not a gang member at all, and he became a Marine, and I wrote to him, but I was still afraid of him when he came back, and he turned out fine, got married, raised a family, you know, so I don't know what to tell you about them anymore, except that I think a lot of them were, I think there were just a few bad, misled young men who dressed funny and then got carried away with it, and then with the girls. And, I mean, the girls got carried away with their dress and their appearance, and I think they were just losers myself. And they brought a bad name to a lot of people who really didn't deserve it. But they existed. Did you hear about the riots? Now that wasn't right either, because everybody got lumped in. I didn't live there. I just heard about it. See, we had different neighborhoods. And I heard where the Navy or servicemen came in and attacked. They went into homes and beat up the women. Is that right? I mean, that isn't right either. And then that area over there was off limits to them after that. Mm-hmm. But they were just poor people, I guess. And there was a lot of anger. A lot of anger. My brother told me about that. He was in the service and he had to hear all of that. It's hard.
Did he have problems in the service?
He certainly did.
With the
wife? Yeah. Yeah. When he came out, he was bitter. Mad. Yeah. And I think that words, uncontrolled words, is what causes a lot of our problems. Henry came out determined not to marry a Mexican girl because he didn't want his children to be Mexicans. And he married a girl from high school who was French-Canadian. And eventually it didn't turn out to be a good marriage because Henry still had his Latin roots and she didn't. And a lot, yeah. And so, but I think in those years, a certain resolution was formed in all of our minds. I ended up marrying an Irishman. That must have had something to do with my decision to marry my husband. Perhaps the same. My brother, of course, you know, told me this. So, you know, don't marry a Mexican. Don't marry a Mexican. So I was looking for a Mexican husband. But I think that we were all a little bit afraid to marry one another because of the fact that perhaps we didn't have a future, you know, as Mexicans. I hate to go into that because that has nothing to do with Avion.
Oh, it has to do with you, though.
Oh, it does. So I didn't want to marry my husband because I was afraid that maybe way down deep I was motivated to marry him because he was Irish. And his mother was English and Dutch, and they're mixed, Scotch and Irish. But it wasn't my idea. I didn't want to marry him. I didn't want to get involved with him, to fall in love with him, because I was I didn't know whether I was doing it because he was not Mexican, you know. And I was, I worried whether or not that would be an honest thing to do. So I did leave it up to him more and more. I wanted to be sure that it was his idea more than mine, because I kept backing off. And I was afraid of a divorce, because my parents were divorced. And I always thought, when I marry, I hope it's forever. Especially my kids. Oh, I only said that because I missed the family life that I thought. You see, when you don't have something, it becomes a very idealistic thing, you know. Everything is much better. Would have been much better if they'd stayed together. Probably not. I think probably it was better that they separated. How do I know? As it turned out, my mother was able to work and collect her Social Security, and she became a citizen back in the 30s. So she's very Anglicized, you know, she's Anglo-sized, I guess is the word for it. And she too didn't want us to. What's the matter with people? What, you know, how can I be ashamed of what I am? That was my problem. I had a terrible problem. It grew until finally, I told you, I finally had to see a psychiatrist because I had developed a low self-esteem. Even though I fought it every inch of the way, because I tried very hard to do just as good a job at being a wife and a mother, at whatever job I was set out to do, I tried to do as good a job as I knew how to do. And if I didn't know how to do something, I would ask, and but I always felt inferior. I was made to feel inferior, and I finally started getting angry. And when you start to become angry, you may start saying things that will go against you, especially in my situation. I don't have the argument that they expect me to have. And I'm talking now about the present, like my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and some of my husband's friends. They want me to be very defensive. And I want to be equal. Only with those who have done just what I have done. I don't want to be more than what I am, you know, or what they are. But it turns out that a lot of them maybe didn't even go past the 7th or the 8th grade, and maybe haven't done as much as I have done up to up to my point, but yet they are superior. And they are really harder to get along with than those who have grown up a little bit more. And so I have to avoid people. I've learned that if I don't want to get hurt, or if I don't want to fight, or if I've given up trying to reason, I just have to follow a very small path of people who understand where I am. So that I don't get it put in a situation where I have to either Well, how can I defend a whole a whole group? There's good and bad in every group. But there was a time when I started to take up arms, you know. You can't say that. My brother-in-law was very hard on us. He laughed at my husband for marrying me. And he made our marriage very, very hard. He didn't like me. And he always felt that he had done so much better because he married a hard time with their marriage and finally ended up in divorce. And they had 4 children. So now he's mellowed, you know, he hasn't said anything lately. But they used to. They used to say things like that the kids were half-breeds. That hurts. And so then I would try to remind them, well, I'm not Indian, you know. I would want to go back into the family, you know. Well, there's Spain and there's France, you know. I said, there's very little Indian in me. And I said, you'll have to meet the rest of my family. And, you know, so many years of saying that, and then eventually they started doing and saying things that I didn't really approve of. And I thought, well, why should I explain myself to them? I'll lead my life. I'll do the best I can. If my husband appreciates it, then fine. And if he doesn't, I don't feel that I've done my best. And that's why when you came in, I guess the first thing I did was show you the picture of my kids. And I think that they're wonderful. But sure, we're going to have problems. I'm going to have problems the rest of my life. I know it. And I have learned to live with it and face it. And I've got a lot more ahead of me. Don't think I don't know that. I do. I think my husband's beginning to be troubled by my nationality now. Because he's already grown, you know, he needed me. And he needed me for an awfully long time. And then he felt his mother seemed to like me. She always seemed to like me. I don't know why. I don't know. I think she was the reason that he married me. I think she felt that I would take good care of him. And so there were no problems up until he even stood up to his brother a little bit. But now that he has such a prestigious job, I don't know. But that's another story. That's why I want to go back to work. It's not good to sit home and reminisce too much. There has to be a place for me somewhere. Well, I'm not saying that there's real trouble between us. After 33 years, it's hard to believe that there can be. But there can be. And he's too involved with... The job has gone to his head, you know? He's dealing with the executives, and they take him to fancy restaurants and golf courses, and he's beginning to lead a life that I am not a part of. And I was hurt at first, but I don't feel too badly anymore. In fact, if anything should ever happen to us, even though I told you before that everything's fine and that everything turned out all right, nobody's ever sure of anything like that. I don't even know for sure that when he retires we're going to stay together. I don't know. I just have a feeling that we're not. And all I want is to be able to take care of myself. I want to have that. And that's why it's so important. That's where I worry about prejudice. Because if I need to get out there and earn a living, and I'm not up to it, I'm not, I've been out of the job market, I'm not fast enough, and I don't have the background or, you know, or anybody behind me. And will I be able to make enough money to support myself? I think that applies to any woman of any nationality, of any, in any case. And I would certainly recommend that you work, because I was a fool not to. My mother told me that. But by moving to the valley in 1951, it was like moving out to Timbuktu, I called it. There was absolutely nowhere to work out here, you know, except Lockheed, and that's quite a ways. It's in Burbank. And we were very, very poor again.